everyone, and welcome to the first episode of the Sons of Atherton Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Ed Fowler, and I'm joined today with our commissioner, Mr. Greg Phillips.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome to the Man Cave.
Why does Greg get to go first?
Because he's the
Fuck
commissioner.
You, John.
I already said that.
Hey, my kids are listening to this shit.
We are also joined here today by our third knucklehead in charge, Mr. John Smith.
Thank you. Great to be here. As the prohibitive favorite to win this league, I'm glad I could be a part of the first podcast.
Yes, it's nice to have dreams. All right, so it's been approximately a week and maybe a couple of days since our draft. And so tonight we are going to kind of do a rundown on what everyone picked. First up, we had for the first pick overall by our commissioner, Mr. David Johnson was the overall pick. What do we think about that?
You know, not only was it the first overall pick, it was my first time ever being in the pole position. So, with David
That's what
Johnson,
your wife said.
I absolutely think I crushed it.
You would. That's the point.
Clearly the best option on the board. Because we got to remind people, Gurley was already kept, so he was not available.
True.
You got to go Johnson there, right?
Definitely would have been my pick. No question. Love Bell, interesting, but he's got some baggage. And Johnson had a season cut short last year. He's got fresh legs.
Fresh legs, baby.
He wants 1,000 and 1,000. I think he's going to get it.
But does he have a weak wrist?
Come on now. The wrist doesn't run the ball, you know? The wrist doesn't run the ball. The legs run the ball.
Yeah, but the wrist does hold on to the ball, right?
That's all right. He can hold
it. Was his other hand, you know? He's right-handed.
Okay. Okay, all right. So, yeah, I think overall that was a solid pick.
Let's say it was a safe pick.
Unquestioned.
Very safe with a very high upside.
Not even safe, just the best.
You're not going to go wrong picking David Johnson number one overall.
Nope.
Okay, second was our friend.
The Irishman.
Parrick with Lev Bell at number two overall.
I got to tell you, when he picked this, it sent shivers down my spine. I was really excited for the young Irishman. But the news broke recently. What was that news, Ed?
Yeah, recently we've come to learn that Mr. Bell is still holding out. He is not reported to practice. Today, being Labor Day, was the day most people expected him to show, and he didn't.
Gotta get paid, man. Gotta get paid.
He's got to get something. So we'll see where that story goes. John, what do you feel about
I tried to tell Parrick this, but he's Irish, and clearly he's an alcoholic. And he was kind of... He had nothing. He took Love Bell, and it was a mistake. But I tried to tell him.
He took best available based on ADP.
Well, everybody else would have taken Love Bell. If you didn't take David Johnson, you had to take Love Bell, though. You can't take Elliott. His team's going to be dog crap. Barkley's too big. So Lev Bell was the obvious choice there. He'll be back. I don't worry about Lev Bell coming back. He wants to get paid. He'll take his $15 million this year and play.
You can't blame him.
You had to take him.
He wants those digits.
He also has not signed his franchise tender. So
he will. Which is a pretty big deal.
He's coming.
It's Monday. He's got a game on Sunday. Granted, it's against the Cleveland Browns, so he shouldn't have a lot to go up against. But there's some question there for sure. All right, number three overall from Mr. David Kasten, Ezekiel Elliott. After last year's, let's just say dramatics, he's probably going to come into this season with a bit of a chip on his shoulder and ready to kind of show that he's back and ready to go.
I got to be honest. I think it's a strong pick, but definitely one that I wasn't wanting to go for overall, number one.
Nope.
That O-line is a mess right now.
Whoops, yeah.
The center, the right guard, they're out potentially first game of the season. And who's Dak throwing it to? I have no idea. So everybody's going to be eight men in a box trying to stop Zeke.
Maybe 10.
I think Dak might be throwing to Kasten at this point. I don't know. I mean, I talked to him.
I guess at that position, third overall, you got to pick him. What do you think, John?
Yeah, I agree. I think he's the safest pick right there. Saquon Barkley, again, everybody loves him. He can do it all. But on a Giants team, that's hard to say what's going to happen with that team. Elliott, you know what his workload's going to be. He's going to get everything. So you can't miss with that. He'll probably get 1,400 yards. He might score 12 touchdowns.
So here's the question, though. We are a two-quarterback league.
Mm-hmm.
Third overall, I'm not saying you should have, or he should have, but you could have gone Aaron Rodgers there.
It's true, because he's coming in as a new team owner with no keepers. So that would have been a strong play. But that's a little too rich for my blood.
I was surprised he didn't take Rodgers. I know he was talking a lot about quarterbacks before the draft. He kept asking about our scoring system and the two quarterbacks and why doesn't everybody just take quarterbacks. So I kind of thought he would take Rodgers. He zigged and zagged.
Good for you that he didn't.
Yep, thank God.
So apparently he asked a lot of questions and didn't understand any of the answers.
The man works.
Well, you know, there's four things that adults shouldn't believe in anymore. Santa Claus, the Tooth Fairy, the Easter Bunny, and the Dallas Cowboys. Moving on to the fourth pick.
Fourth pick overall. We went to the guy who will never be listening to this podcast.
He doesn't Brent Hamlin. To the chat line.
Yes, the ghost of the Sons of Atherton. Brent Hamlin's pick was Saquon Barkley.
Wow. I'd like to start off on this. Brent every year takes the shiny new toy.
He does.
I don't want to just rate him in every draft, but every year he takes the shiny new toy. Remember Cordarrelle Patterson in the second round?
Who
could forget? Yeah,
I know. Tyreek Hill, second round. Christian McCaffrey, second round. It's always the new hotness for Brent. He can't help himself. Him taking Barkley shocked me a little bit, but it shouldn't have.
No.
I expected him to take Aaron Rodgers. I understand he probably felt burnt after last year.
Yep.
But Aaron Rodgers in the fourth, that would have been pretty solid. But that leads us right into Aaron Rodgers, who was picked fifth overall by our very own John Smith.
Yeah, and I'd like to just say that before the draft, I knew I was going to probably be choosing between Rodgers, Barkley, and Brown. And in my mind, I said, I'm taking Antonio Brown. I want the sure thing. I'm taking Antonio Brown. When I got up to the draft board, I brain farted. I took Aaron Rodgers, and I haven't stopped thinking about it since.
Regrets?
I'm not sure I can regret it. In a way, I wanted to keep Edison from having the best running back, possibly the best receiver, and the best quarterback all at once. He had two keepers. He had Gurley and Hopkins in the third and the fourth. I didn't want to see him with Rodgers up there, too.
So it was a defensive move.
In a way, it was. And I feel a little regret.
That couldn't possibly go wrong in the first round.
You know, John, leave it to you to bring in the three-dimensional chess in the first round of the fantasy football draft. I think Rodgers at that position was a bit of a reach. I think you could have gotten tremendous value in the second round in the same spot. And Antonio Brown being available where you're already strong in your running backs, that would have probably been a better move. But hey, he's probably the number one quarterback of all time.
No, I think it was a solid pick. It really gave you a really solid foundation to build the rest of your team on. You got two of the top 10 running backs on your team right now, and you have the number one overall quarterback. Mm-hmm. Like, that's...
Yeah, I mean, not going to hurt, but...
No.
Not going to knock you for taking the best QB in a 2QB league.
So,
Edison...
We went number six. We go to Mr. Edison Sosa with Antonio Brown.
The first of what will be an ongoing theme with Edison. Antonio Brown, clearly a strong pick. I mean, you're talking about the best wide receiver on the board, bar none. He's in his own tier, his own bracket, and he's just done it for, what, five straight years? So, I mean, it's a solid pick. You can't fault
it. It was the only pick you could make there, and hard to believe it fell all the way to the sixth pick. Hard to believe Antonio Brown, who had gone number one many years before this, before running backs became so valuable again.
You bring up a good point. You know, you had to go there because the drop off to running backs after this point is I would say it's substantial. You get into the next tier, so you had to go best wide receiver overall.
Absolutely.
In the PPR league.
All right, number seven overall was our very own Captain Antonio. Lance and Dave went with Mr. Dalvin Cook.
Captain Antonio. Love will keep us together.
I had a question with this one. I think Dalvin Cook had a lot of questions. He was great last year for the four games he was there.
Four games.
Yeah, but he was really good. Looked like he was going to get a lot
of
work.
They still play 16, right?
That's true.
Okay, four games, right.
I personally would have gone Melvin Gordon there, as much as I'm not a Melvin Gordon truther. The workload is always there. Passing, rushing, he's going to get work. He was probably a better pick there, but time will tell.
I totally agree. The offensive line concerns me there. I think they've got a lot of problems with the offensive line. You got a new quarterback, even though we all trust Captain Kirk. First year in a new offense for a new quarterback is always a little bit questionable. I say they take a step back a little bit this year, Minnesota, and Dalvin Cook is going to be one of the first casualties.
Oh, God. Well, you also have Latavius Murray still there who...
Good point.
They are saying right now is going to get a lot of carries.
And
so,
the goal line work probably is going to go to him.
Yes.
Yeah, I think they're going to use Dalvin between the 20s and Lat Murray's going to get all the work in the red
zone. Wait.
Yeah, go.
Did you just call him Lat Murray?
That's
Lat
right.
Murray?
Did you like that one?
Lat?
No.
Be ready.
No, I did not.
I'm going to keep pulling that one out.
No, that's a hard pass on that one.
Luther Murray. Because he wants to say Latavius. Latavius. That's a lot of syllables.
We'll edit that out of there, Greg.
Really? It's too many syllables for you?
It's too many syllables.
Okay, moving on.
All right. Number eight overall. We have Mr. No H. John Smith. With the fantabulous wonder of Kareem Hunt. The guy just set the NFL on fire last year. And it will be really interesting to see what he does this year with a new quarterback. And I think he's got some other changes there too, right?
Mr. Sammy Watkins.
Sammy Watkins. And you got some new guy. What's his name under center?
Oh, yeah, Pat Mahomes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Mahomes.
Rocket arm.
Yeah, so Alex Smith has been jettisoned to the wasteland of Washington Redskins. And I really see this as a little bit of a minor step back for Kareem Hunt this year. He's still going to be in the RB1 discussion. But I don't see that offense doing what it did last year under Alex Smith. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be a lot of highs and a lot of lows.
Yeah. I was surprised he didn't take Melvin Gordon.
Yep.
I was surprised.
Kareem Hunt, I mean, if you saw his first game last year, and I know better than most, that guy killed me in the first week. He played on a Thursday night. He scored like 49 points.
I remember.
I had no hope of winning the first week on Thursday night. So I have respect for Kareem Hunt, but I think with Spencer Ware coming back, he's not going to get all the totes that he did last year. Spencer Ware is actually a pretty good back, and there's a lot of offensive weapons there. Kareem Hunt might have been a reach at that spot.
All right, number nine. Joel took Melvin Gordon. I was surprised to see Melvin Gordon fall this far down.
No doubt. Good pick.
But yeah, this is a great pick.
For a guy who averages 3.9 yards a carry, it's a great pick. But
wait, are we talking about Joel?
No, we're talking about Gordon. Gordon, his numbers are not fantastic. But he just gets so much work in that offense.
Yes.
It's hard to believe Rivers throws for so many yards when Melvin Gordon gets so much work.
And that's a great team. They are going to be on top of that division, and he is going to get all that goal line work. I mean, that's a great pick.
Do you worry about Austin Eckler coming on in that offense? Or?
You know, he did a little bit last year. I think there could be a little bit of cannibalization of carries. But honestly, I think Eckler's a gadget play guy. Melvin Gordon's going to get the volume. I don't think there's a lot of concern there, especially with Hunter Henry out.
Yeah, true. But I just think they might want to preserve Gordon a little bit for the stretch run and for the playoffs. You don't want to run him too much too hard. Give Eckler some work. The guy's shown he can do the job.
And number 10 overall with the last pick of the first round.
MC Suckers.
Yep. That's Ed's
team. That's your name.
Nah, I've changed my team name.
We don't even know what that means.
I've changed my team name. I don't know who that is. So I went with Mr. Big Money himself, Odell Beckham.
Odell is,
and I gotta say, pick. I think that was
excellent.
The most amazing pick you could take at the 10 slot of the first round.
Yeah, when he's right.
You like slot.
No.
It goes on record. You definitely love slot.
I'm a fan of it.
No, I mean, you got the turn coming up here. You had to do a pretty big calculation. You and I talked about this before the draft, Ed. Is
yeah.
When you go with the turn, and I'm also with the turn, you're going to reach for some.
Yeah, you got to reach.
Because you're not going for 19 more picks, but I think that was a great pick.
Right? Not a reach at all. That was solid.
And I got to say, you know, maybe it's a little bit of a predictable pick, but I did so many mock drafts, and this is where I think that mock draft strategy really comes into play.
Yeah.
I did so many mock drafts, and every single time, Odell fell to me right there. And I knew exactly. When Joel took Melvin Gordon,
mm-hmm.
I knew exactly who I was going to take.
Right.
Now, if Joel had gone with Odell or Julio or someone else, maybe Gronk or whoever, I would have absolutely taken Melvin Gordon. But I think right there, I had to go with the probably number two overall wide receiver in the league with Odell.
Could be.
So top of the second round on the turn, I went. I followed the lessons of being in a 2QB league and went with Deshaun Watson. I have no idea if that's going to be a good pick or not. But I like him. I like his speed. I like his legs. I like how he plays the game.
Mm.
And I wanted that energy on the team.
I love that pick. It's big time upside, and he's not going to fall flat. Deshaun Watson has been an absolute stud since Clemson. He came in, he showed you, he can just rewrite the record books when he's got it on. He's going to be amazing. There is some questions about it, but if I were betting, I would bet on the upside of Deshaun Watson. I wish I had that guy on my team.
I got to be honest, guys. I'm going to be the contrarian here. I think it's a high risk, high reward. I think that what we saw in the flash, the time that he was the starting QB before he got hurt, nobody will question he was one or two every single week. I just think with that kind of quarterback and that kind of style in this league, just history shows that they are not long for the league. And I hope the best for him that he has a long career, but I don't think...
Are you writing his eulogy?
Sort
of feels like
I'm
that's
just,
what we're
I'm
doing.
I'm just telling you.
You're kind of bringing in the mood of things down a little. Community.
All right, so great pick.
Yes!
High rewarded. High reward. I like your second quarterback pick better.
He's more Randall Cunningham than Michael Vick, I'll say that.
That's true. He's got an arm.
He's a badass.
Solid pick.
All right.
It was questionable.
You brought me back around.
No, it was questionable.
Second pick of the second round, Joel took Michael Thomas. And I got to say, I love this pick. I love Michael Thomas. I love the Saints. I love Drew Brees. I think this was a great pick.
I'm sorry to be the guy on the opposite side here again. Don't get me wrong. Michael Thomas is a really amazing talent. He put up the numbers last year. I think with Julio Jones still available, I probably would have gone Julio on that one. But Michael Thomas is still a really strong pick. I just look at that whole Atlanta offense. I'm pretty excited by the second year under Sarkisian. I think they're really starting. They're going to start gelling. I think New Orleans is transitioning now as Brees is getting older from a pass-first offense to a run-first and a defense. And I think that the numbers are going to start swinging more toward running.
But you can't argue that there's still a lot of questions around Julio. Yes, there's a lot of conjecture right now that, second year of Sarkisian, they're going to turn it around. But he was not even a second-round pick by the end of last season. Like, he didn't earn that pick. Like, last year for us, he was a number one, round one pick. So I understand why Julio fell a little bit on our draft.
We have recency bias, all of us, because of what happened in their previous year. But even though he only had three touchdowns, he still had 1,400 yards receiving, Julio.
Yeah, true. But Michael Thomas, not glamorous. Same with Melvin Gordon. It's almost like Joel went totally vanilla on his first two picks. Safe, sound, solid.
High floor.
Not spectacular at all.
Vanilla is also the most popular flavor of ice cream in the world.
And Tirani syrups.
For fantasy football losers.
All right.
And the third pick of the second round,
wow.
Mr. No H. John Smith I should say Mr. No H. John North Carolina.
That's right.
Good point.
Yeah.
Took the man himself, Superman himself, Cam Newton.
Cam Boot Scootin' Newton.
Booty Scootin'. Yeah, two thumbs up for that pick. Cam Newton, when he's got it going, he's not super accurate, but he's got more weapons this year. McCaffrey should be fine. He's got better receivers. And he runs for 700-800 yards and about 6 or 8 touchdowns himself. Can't miss with Cam Newton in that spot.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, not much to add there. I think Cam's a solid pick. He's a great QB. He's done it for like 5 years in a row. He's a good pick there.
All right, and fourth pick of the second round, Lance and Dave went with GOAT. The GOAT. Tom Brady. I was a little surprised to see Tom Brady go this early in the second round because it seems like he'd been sort of dropping in a lot of people's, draft picks. Yeah. I'm not sure exactly where he was in the ADP. But, I mean, this is not a bad pick in a 2QB league.
No. But I think Russell Wilson would have been a better choice there. I just think so.
So, value-wise, you feel like you could have gotten Brady later.
He wouldn't have gotten Brady later, but yeah. I think Russell Wilson is a better pick there. But, you know,
I would have taken Drew Brees here myself.
Yeah. Really? Ahead of Russell Wilson?
Yeah.
So this is where it gets interesting, right? When you get to the second, third round, you start to get tiers distinguishing themselves. I have my own opinion on New England, as you all know.
Oh.
Yes. I'm on record for
the Miami Dolphin truther has spoken.
But that said, Tom, I am on record as a Dolphins fan going to say Brady is the best quarterback that's ever walked the earth. And even that said,
what about Jesus? What about Jesus?
If football was a thing during that time,
hey, were you alive back then?
Maybe they had it. Maybe they played with the Rock, baby. Give me the Rock.
Maybe Jesus was the best quarterback.
Maybe that's where the phrase started. Give me the Rock, because that's all they had. They only had rocks.
Why do you think they call it a Hail Mary?
Well, so here's all I'm going to say on Brady is I think that Brady has put up the numbers he's shown year over year. I think we're starting to see the first year of the decline of the dominance of the Pats. I think they'll still take that division, but I think they're going to start transitioning, just like New Orleans has started transitioning with Breeze.
But what makes you think that?
Because they're not investing in a lot of wide receivers right now. They are starting to invest a lot more. If you look at their draft picks over the last few years, they're really starting to load up on defense. And they've got, 15 running backs in the backfield? I don't know how many running backs they have.
I haven't looked at the latest breaking news, so they may have
They may have gotten a new one. But I just feel like Brady's on the decline, and this is probably going to be the first year we'll see it. But last year, he was, number two overall? So you can't argue that.
Was it that high?
In our scoring system.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So fifth pick in the second round, Edison took Julio Jones.
Me and Julio down at the schoolyard.
Now, didn't we all start to feel a little nervous when he had Antonio Brown, then he got Julio Jones? We should note that you can't see this, but he also has DeAndre Hopkins as a keeper in the fourth round. So now Edison starts his draft with Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, Todd Gurley as a keeper in the third, and DeAndre Hopkins in the fourth. He looks so freaking stacked right now. Everybody's like, holy shit, what happened?
We were all sweating.
I know. Yeah. I was.
My thighs were chafed at that point.
Yeah. And then the back half of the draft happened.
We'll talk about that
later.
But Julio Jones, very solid pick there. He could have gone, since he already had two number one wide receivers, like super number ones. He could have gone Russell Wilson there and probably saved himself some headaches. Went with Julio because I don't know what Edison was thinking there. That's the point where you just take Russell Wilson and say, I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah, yeah. He could have locked up the top two or three positions in the draft. But he went he went wide receiver heavy, and we're going to see how it plays out. But it's a strong pick.
It's the Air Force. Oh, yeah.
It's good value.
Yep.
All right, sixth pick of the second round. John, you went with Davante Adams.
Again, another brain fart there. I think it all through. I get up there, and I'm like, I want another wide receiver. I need a wide receiver. I didn't really like the options after that. I didn't love A.J. Green for this year. Doug Baldwin, I've always had my issues with Seattle because I'm a Niner guy. So Davante Adams catches a shitload of touchdowns. I don't think I thought this one through either.
Stacking, you got the stack, man. You got a solid stack.
I got a stack, but right there, that should have been Russell Wilson. And then I would have locked down the quarterback position like crazy. I would have had I would have had no wide receivers, but I would have had two insane quarterbacks.
You would have had two solid quarterbacks, but yeah, you would have had no wide receiver game.
Yeah, and if you look later on in the draft, I still have no wide receivers, so...
it doesn't get better for me.
Probably good. I took Adams, and, you know, we'll see how that goes.
And John, I think it was a solid pick. I think I was actually hoping Adams would fall to me at the turn, but he didn't. But I think it's a great pick, and I love the stack.
All right.
All right. Seventh pick of the second round. Brent went with the guy we keep talking about, Russell Wilson.
I hate that team, but I love the quarterback. The man can move. I think he's not going to be as good as he's been in the past, losing his tight end. Jimmy Graham's not going to help. He lost another speedy wide receiver. And Doug Baldwin is hobbled. They don't really know who their running back should be, and their defense is sucky. So, I guess maybe the defense plays into his thing.
Yeah, it's going to be
more.
It's going to be an interesting season to see what Russell Wilson does, because he always, historically speaking, he always starts out slow and finishes big. But that could mean he loses you the first 10 games and then wins the last six. It doesn't matter. So. You know, you never know.
It won't be his fault. It'll be the defense.
Listen, no one is more of a Wilson truther than me. I had him last year. He was the number one in our QB. He was the number one QB overall. But no Jimmy Graham to throw to, no relief valve. Baldwin's got a gimpy knee. You know, that O-line hasn't gotten any better, and that backfield is a mess. So I don't see it repeating itself.
No.
Number eight, the eighth pick of the second round. Kasten went with Drew Brees. I love Drew Brees. I know what everyone's been saying, that he's, you know, getting up there and he is at nearing the end of his career, which maybe he is, maybe he isn't. But I just think this guy's got a hell of an arm, a great team. I think this is going to be one of the contending teams this year.
Yeah, I think he'll throw it more than he did last year. No doubt about it. They got the good ground game, but now that's going to open up the passing game a little bit more. They don't want to throw him throwing for 5,000 yards, but I like Drew Brees there. Can't miss.
Good pick. Nothing to add there. Great value.
Yeah. Nice contribution there, Commissioner.
Thank you.
Great pick. Were you in the bathroom? What happened?
There was nothing.
What are you saying? Drew Brees, he's a guy, you know, and he went to Purdue. How could I not love the guy?
Yeah, Purdue grad over here to our left, the commish.
All right. And
Parik. Our left, you're right.
Parik went, the ninth pick of the second round, Parik went with Rob Gronkowski, Gronk himself. I think you could argue the second round is a little early for Gronk, but this is where it gets interesting. I wonder if Parik had played with you, Greg, in this league before, knowing your disgust.
Exactly.
For the Patriots, that you would have never drafted Gronk.
Not only my disgust, but the fact that I don't roster any Patriots.
Yeah, he could have gotten Gronk in the third because you'd never have taken him.
No shit.
Yes. Yeah. So this is where it comes down to knowing the people you play with.
Edward, that's a great point.
Yeah,
good point, Ed.
I think it is a reach. And, you know, over the last 5 years, Gronkowski has averaged 11.6 games per year. So you're already signing up for him missing 5 games where he won't even be, not even to mention the bye week. So you're probably losing him 5 to 6 games a year.
And he was considering retiring.
Yeah.
So I mean, if he would have come back around to me in the third, I would have totally taken him. But I do have questions about where his head is in the game of football right now.
Well, you know, knowing what we know now about the Patriots, that's probably a good pick. They have no wide receivers. Gronk's going to get a shit ton of run.
Until he gets injured.
Yep.
For those 3 weeks, it will be glorious.
And he will.
He will.
All right, for the 10th pick of the second round, last pick of the second round, Kamish, you went with Jordan Howard.
Yeah, you know where this was? It was a value pick for me. I think it was probably early for Howard. Depends on your point of view. I mean, some are saying in the Nagy offense, Howard is going to be a 3-down back. He's proven that he can carry the rock over the last 2 seasons. I think it was a good pick. I needed a second running back, and I knew I had Allen in the 4th. So I knew I didn't have to go big on the wide receiver.
That's Keenan Allen. Not Marcus.
Or Josh.
Yeah.
So.
I think when you go through our draft and you understand all the running backs that were already kept this year and the desire to have as many solid running backs as possible, you know, as part of your kind of draft strategy, taking Jordan Howard there, like, there was no other option. You look at the other options that were available. You weren't going to take Mixon there.
I wasn't going to take McCaffrey because he was kept. Gurley was kept. I was not high on Mixon. And, you know, McKinnon.
Devonta Freeman, I think, still had a lot of questions.
So for that value, I think that was the right value.
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely a bit of an upside. But I think there's a lot of potential with that.
Well, I think now that they don't have John Fox running that team, their offensive coordinator is much, much better. Their coach is
Adam
Nagy.
Ace?
Nagy.
Oh, Nagy. Yeah. Sorry, I thought we were talking Dolphins.
So that offense is going to do a whole lot better. Howard, I think, was underutilized, and I think that's a fantastic pick at that spot. He is going to get a lot of run, and you're going to be real happy with that pick. Now, the next pick.
All right, so
maybe not so much.
You know, actually, we were going to just do the first 2 rounds, but let's do the 3rd round. Take that turn with our commissioner. And Greg, you went with Doug Baldwin. Now, Doug Baldwin's coming off some injuries.
Yep.
You know, he's definitely the man in Seattle.
He's got a bum wheel.
Yep.
He's got a wheel that's a little flat.
Just say it.
It's a bad pick.
Yeah, it's a bad pick.
All right, so in my defense, since I'm here to defend myself. Okay. So Baldwin has been a top wide receiver for the last 4 or 5 years straight, right? Agreed?
Sure.
So I'm going for the upside here, and I know that I'm not going to have another pick for 2 more rounds because Keenan Allen was my keeper in the 4th. So I knew I wouldn't get my 2nd wide receiver, which is really what I was drafting, not my 1st. Until the 5th round, and I knew that it would all be garbage after that. So AJ Green would be gone, and I was burned by AJ last year, so I got a little biased there.
That's exactly right.
I got a lot of bias with AJ Green, and I don't have a lot of confidence in that Bengals offense. I got to be honest.
Good point. And you also opted to not go QB in this round.
That's right.
That was curious.
I had Stafford that I kept in the 10th.
Good point.
So I didn't feel that I needed to go yet for my 2nd QB. And I felt like there'd be a lot of value in the 6th, 7th, 8th round. So, yeah, I went Doug. He's probably a little bit of a risk for me. But I'm not relying on him for wide receiver one numbers. I'm relying on him for number two numbers.
All right. Well, I'm looking at your wide receiver lineup, and you're going to be needing him in the wide receiver one category.
Probably my weakest pick. If I'm being a moment of truth here, moment of truth. probably one of my weakest picks in the top seven rounds.
Good point.
But it's what the app said, so...
Stop. Hold on. Moving on.
Second pick of the third round, Parikh went with Big Ben. Ben Roethlisberger, which I think... I love Big Ben, and I think he's going to have a great season. I do wonder if this is a little bit early. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I'm not sure if Big Ben would have been there coming back around in the fourth.
I think it was early. I think you took Parikh took Ben before Cousins, Goff, Wentz, Andrew Luck, who's supposedly now healthy. I think it was a bit of a reach and probably would have been available at the next round.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know, because Goff, granted, looking at what people drafted, you can say, okay, he wouldn't have been there, or he might have been there. But Goff, I think there's still a lot of questions around him as a quarterback. Wentz, we still, right now, Labor Day, mm-hmm. we still don't know if he's playing week one.
That's true.
Still, if you look down the list, I would much rather have Devonta Freeman or Tyreek Hill or A.J. Green. Just with some solid position players and hope you get a good quarterback or two coming around later. I wouldn't have taken Ben there.
All right, so the third pick of the third round, Mr. Third Man himself, Dave Kasten, went with A.J. Green, who, this is what we can say about A.J. Green. He's probably not going to have a worse season than he did last year.
That's safe. He's good. He's a damn fine wide receiver. We just don't know what's going on in Cincinnati. They were fine for years and years, and now, after last year, he got, 1,400 yards and 3 touchdowns. And he's always been known as the guy who doesn't catch a lot of touchdowns.
He's a great wide receiver. He's well-respected. You know, you look at the top 100 players, he's always well-regarded by all his peers.
Yep.
But there's just too
many... People like him.
People like him. You want to give him a big group fantasy hug, but he's just not putting up the numbers. And I have major concerns about the Bengals' offense. They could finish last in that division easily. And I was looking for some signs that they improved or took a step forward in preseason. But all the games I watched, they looked like the same Bengals from last year.
Yep.
The Bungles.
They also made no – correct me if I'm wrong – they made no moves in the offseason.
You mean to upgrade the offensive line?
Or? Offensive line, something.
Same running backs, same group of wide receivers, same quarterback.
Still, if I'm picking there, I'd probably take A.J. Green. Third pick, third round. You just take him because he's A.J. Green.
I think I might have taken Tyreek Hill. If I was going to take a wide receiver, I probably would have taken Tyreek Hill. Just purely like... conjecture right now, because I think Tyreek's gonna get all the action in Kansas City, big plays. He's gonna get those.
It's all Tyreek.
He's gonna get those over 20-30 yard passes.
High upside.
He's gonna get the touchdowns. But I think A.J. Green still has a lot of potential for this season. All right, fourth pick of the third round, keeper. Brent's keeper was Christian McCaffrey. Now, okay, so he's a keeper.
First keeper that we've come across.
First keeper. Good point. Now, is this a good position for Christian McCaffrey as a keeper?
What absolutely.
You bet.
They are singing the praises on the mountaintops in Carolina, and they are talking about McCaffrey like he's going to get 300 touches this
20
year.
20 to 25 a game is the talk. So we'll see.
If his body holds up, his body of work in college was amazing. His first season was, I would say, decent. He didn't light the world on fire like Kareem Hunt, but he had a solid rookie campaign.
Yeah.
He kind of caught a lot of balls.
They feel comfortable. They got rid of John Stewart, but they did bring in C.J. Anderson. But I think that's a safe bet. I think that's the right value. I don't think it's under or overvalued.
No, you had to keep him there in the third round. Yes, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so fifth pick.
Oh, God.
Ouch.
Oh, God.
John went with Jerick McKinnon.
John, you need a box of Kleenexes?
Yeah.
Now, I got to say, you know, just at the top of this, I love Jerick McKinnon. I was big on Jerick McKinnon before the draft. He seemed like a great guy, super talented. I was excited about what he was going to do in San Francisco.
Good guy, too.
Yeah. John took him at the fifth position in the third round.
Knowing that my good friend Ed wanted him, but I took him anyway.
Yeah.
And I could not have been more wrong.
Yeah.
But we didn't know.
As most of you probably know and have heard by now, unfortunately, Jerick McKinnon suffered a season-ending ACL tear over the weekend.
In practice, last play.
Nobody touched him.
No contact.
That sucks.
Let me just say, again, I went up to the draft board. I freaking brain farted one more time. So my first three picks, I didn't do what I thought I was going to do. I took Jerick McKinnon. I wasn't really thinking him. And then I took him because I was like, yeah, I get McKinnon. He's one of my guys. A smart pick there would have probably been Adam Thielen or Tyreek Hill. Get another solid wide receiver because I already had two kick-ass keeper running backs. But I kept thinking, running back, running back, running back. So that's why I took McKinnon, and I could not be more sorry today.
You know, I liked McKinnon. I thought that position was a little overvalued. But I think that overall, you picked where the value was. I was a little surprised that you didn't go wide receiver here because you already had Fournette and you had Kamara that you had kept. But you know what? For the value where it was in the draft position, I think McKinnon, that was the right place to get him. You couldn't have predicted the future that was going to happen.
No. And the upside here is that McKinnon is still available to you as a keeper for next season if you hang on to him.
Probably not going to happen. He's in my IR spot, but that may not last.
The sixth pick of the third round, Edison had a keeper in this position with Todd Gurley.
Gurley man.
Yeah, Hurley Gurley.
How fair is that? Todd Gurley in the third.
Yes.
Probably the number one pick in almost any other draft.
Yes. ADP had Todd Gurley positioned as the number one running back overall this season. Nothing but great things coming out of LA. The Rams are projected to
contend
for the big game.
Super Bowl.
Yeah, so there's nothing wrong with this keeper.
No. And nobody would ever... Yeah, we can move on.
Yeah, until he gets hurt.
He's Todd Gurley.
And then the seventh pick.
Oh, the sticker pick. It was a very sticky situation during the draft. Which Freeman are we going with? Meat Hammocks?
Party foul.
So is it going to be Royce? Is it going to be Devonta? Is it going to be...
This pick
another Freeman.
Just to recap,
maybe Morgan Freeman. I don't know.
Let's not talk about the draft so much as the pick.
Recap. Recap what happened here. Lance and Dave, they were intending to go Devonta Freeman, pulled the Royce Freeman sticker, which is a huge
big time foul.
Huge draft night foul.
That's a 15-yard penalty.
We gave him the benefit of the doubt. The sticker looks real bad, real bad. But the pick itself is Devonta Freeman.
That's a good pick in the third round.
Great pick.
Great pick, yes. We cannot argue the pick. We can argue the technique.
Yeah.
Although, can I ask you guys one question?
Sure.
And then we can move along. Is Devonta Freeman, have we seen the best of him? He had two concussions. He missed games last year. He's a power running back. Are we starting to usher in the era of the Tevin Coleman? Or are we going to have one more good year of Devonta Freeman?
Oh, that's a good question. Freeman, I'm a little off of him. I had him last year, and I wasn't really happy. But the concussions scare me.
And he had a lot of concussions in college, too.
And he's strong, but I don't consider him a power running back. He catches a lot of balls, but he's got a lot of competition there with Tevin Coleman.
Coleman, who is in the last year of his rookie contract.
Ooh, got something to prove.
And, you know, I think, you know, Atlanta's got a lot to evaluate there. Are they going to pay him the bucks to stick around and be Freeman's replacement? Or are they going to let him go? So I think it'll be an interesting season for sure.
Well, aren't they about the same age? Coleman was drafted higher than Freeman, wasn't he?
I don't know. We'll get our team of researchers together and
stay tuned for that.
You can't mess with Devonta Freeman there. I would take him over Joe Mixon, who went next.
Yes. John Noah Smith went with Joe Mixon for the 8th pick of the 3rd round. I think Mixon you got to put in the same category, you know, a little bit with A.J. Green. Not to say that he's at the level of A.J. Green, but when you're looking at going running back, you know, Cincinnati can't do worse than they did last year.
Yeah, Mixon Go ahead.
Mixon was an awesome talent coming out of college. Cincinnati as a whole has underperformed. I think the talent's there. If they get it together, Mixon could be a steal at that spot.
I got big concerns about Mixon. And the reason I have concerns is coming out of the Big 12. We all know about Big 12. The scores are like 51-45. There's almost no defense. He had big yards in college, but he was all Big 12. And his first year, I don't think he lived up to expectations. I got the same concerns about the O-line and the offense in Cincinnati that I did last year. And they haven't shown anything in preseason to change my mind. You know, I guess you could argue that he had Kareem Hunt. So you're really looking for RB2 numbers here. And he'll probably give you RB2 numbers on occasion. So I guess it's a safe bet.
All right, 9th pick of the 3rd round. Joel went with Tyreek Hill. You could not go wrong, I think, with this pick.
Great pick.
I think this is a solid pick. Yes, there's questions in Kansas City with Mahomes. Who knows what kind of quarterback he's going to actually turn into. But I think you got to trust that whatever he's doing, whatever Mahomes is doing, it's going to Tyreek Hill.
Oh, absolutely. I think Tyreek Hill is such a great pick there. Mahomes has a rocket arm. Hill can get away from anybody. It's going to be the Tyreek Hill show this year. And as much as I hate to admit it, Joel made a nice pick.
Tyreek the Freak, great pick. He's going to put up video game numbers. You bet. It's going to be crazy.
All right, 10th and final pick of the 3rd round. I went with Adam Thielen. I love this pick. I think this is the best pick of the entire draft.
Hold on, Ed. Hold on 1 second. Have you sent a greeting card yet to John Noah Smith for this pick?
I didn't. But I should.
Do you know why?
I should send him flowers. Yes, yes. But why don't, for our listeners, the benefit of our listeners, why don't you explain why I should send a fruit basket to Mr. Smith?
I'd like to take this
because,
one.
Because Adam Thielen was, in fact, available in the 3rd round, you should be sending a greeting card, a gift basket, a bouquet of flowers to Noah H. Team Heisenberg because
he did not keep Thielen in the 14th round from last year. He could have had him. When we declared keepers, we have. Are you sure you don't want to keep Thielen in the 14th? He wanted to start fresh.
Unbelievable.
It was unbelievable.
John, it's just you and me now, buddy.
I love you.
Nobody else is listening. It's just you and me. I think it was the smart pick. Okay? Really.
Great job.
I think you're doing a great job. In our next segment, we've titled, What Were They Thinking? And to kick it off, our commissioner, Greg, has an idea, has a question.
Okay. So I'm going to start out with saying, Edison, what were you thinking in the 16th round drafting J.D. McKissick? Is this guy even on the roster? I don't even know who this is. None of us were understanding this. Maybe it was the fireball shots talking. I have no idea. J.D. McKissic ran two runbacks last year. He might be the fourth running back on that roster. I don't even know. Is this guy on the roster? Don't know. What were you thinking?
Now, he was on. He's already on injured reserve. So
good start. Good start to the season.
It wasn't great.
Great pick. Value honestly, pick.
I would like to stay with Edison and say, what were you thinking after your first four picks? Really, everything after that, except for Marvin Jones, is kind of questionable. Alex Smith in the fifth. LeSean McCoy, who may or may not play this year.
All right. To be fair, his Alex Smith pick in the fifth.
All right.
He meant to pick Phillip Rivers. So
you're right.
He was so going
again,
with the strong
what
pick.
What were you thinking?
All right, let's go with Ed. Ed.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
He goes, he waits till the fifth round to take his first running back. And then that running back is Kerryon Johnson. Have you been listening to the Fantasy Footballers too much? Kerryon Johnson isn't even really the starter there. LeGarrette Blount is the starter in Detroit. Ed, do you want to respond to that?
My response is nobody cares about LeGarrette Blount.
He's done. I totally agree with Ed on this one.
LeGarrette Blount, everybody's like, wait, who? He's the guy that starts the seasons. Oh, yeah, he's a starter. And by the end of the season, he can't even get arrested.
I'll give you respect to awesome wide receivers, two awesome quarterbacks to start. But when you got to the fifth round, there wasn't a lot there. Although, I have to admit, he made up for the bad fifth round pick with drafting some running backs one after another. Marshawn Lynch, who could be all right. Deion Lewis, who should be all right. Tevin Coleman, who has a chance to do something. Sonny Michel, fine. But James Conner might be his best pick.
I agree. That may end up being my best pick of the entire draft. I will say I wanted Kerryon Johnson. I wanted him. And I took him in the fifth. And I had Larry Fitzgerald as my keeper in the sixth. Mm-hmm. So I knew there was no way Johnson was going to still be there by the end of the seventh. So that goes back to what we were talking about at the beginning of the show. When you're at that turn, you have to kind of reach sometimes because you know when guys are not going to be there, especially if you have a keeper. So,
good point.
You know, it could end up burning me. Or it could end up burning you.
Could be two positions of strength, wide receiver and quarterback, and you might make up for the lack of star power at the running back position by volume, which you have a lot of those guys. And go ahead.
I've got one.
Oh, all right, Kamish. What do you got?
So, John H. Smith.
He's back on the Chris Hogan thing.
What were you thinking drafting Chris Hogan in the seventh round? Now, I know I'm going to play the contrarian. I'm going to play the Dolphins lover and the Patriots hater here. But Chris Hogan has officially done a sum total of nothing in five seasons in the NFL. He was three seasons with Buffalo. They got rid of this guy because he knew he was a slow white bum. And then they bring him into New England, and he continued to do nothing for the last two seasons. And for all those truthers out there, they want to say, you know, yeah, well, he was injured and he was at the top when he was out. But the bottom line is the guy's turning 30. He's been in the league 5 years and the most yards he's ever had is 680.
Chris Hogan is white and he plays in New England. That's all I'm going to say.
And
case
and we know that leads to good stats.
Everybody know Tom Brady only throws it to the white guy. And the only reason that their tight end is on that team this year is because he looks white even though he's partially black.
So
it's white on white. I took every white guy on New England. I got their white running back. And I just couldn't get to their whitish tight end.
I'm going to double down on Hogan only to say that you need him to be strong because as your second wide receiver,
you need him on that wall.
You waited till the seventh round to get your seven wide out, and I think you whiffed.
I don't know. We're going to find out about that, but I feel really good about Chris Hogan. If you look at who went after Hogan, who is it? Tyler Lockett, I wouldn't have bet on that guy. Look down the list. Corey Davis, unproven. Jameson Crowder. That's your pick. Josh Gordon, I like him, but I'm not sure if that guy's going to make it through the season. Stephon Diggs was a keeper. Marquise Goodwin. I like Hogan. He's on a rocks. He's got an all-star, greatest of all-time quarterback. And he's the only wide receiver on that team, apparently.
You know what the beauty of this is?
Yep.
We have a water bet on this.
Yes, we do.
That Chris Hogan won't finish in the top 20.
He's a wide receiver, too, in our league. And we have a water bet on that. I like it. I like that pick.
So do you have another, what was he thinking, either of you?
I do. Joel and his quarterback picks.
First call.
He waits a while. Then he goes Pat Mahomes, who really hasn't done anything. Everybody likes Pat Mahomes.
QB2.
But he's picking him in the sixth round. His first quarterback went in the sixth round. Then he goes Derek Carr, who's no one is expecting to do anything. Then he goes another two rounds, and he takes Jameis Winston, the guy who is not good and suspended. Why did he take Jameis Winston there? He could have had that guy in the last round. And so what was he thinking with his quarterback picks?
Good point. I think he drafted two QB2s and a QB1 when he's available.
Ooh, Pat Mahomes.
And you know, John, what the best ability
is? Wait, are you saying Mahomes is a QB1?
I'm saying Mahomes and Carr are QB2s.
Okay.
And so then he got a QB1 in Winston when he's available.
No. Winston, QB1? No.
Well, listen, he's put up the numbers. If you go back and you look at the stats, he's been a QB1 on more than 50% of all of his games. But you know what, John? You know what the number one ability is? Availability. And unfortunately, Jameis Winston is not available.
Oh, my God.
I got one.
That is the worst play on earth.
I got one. I got a what was he thinking?
Okay.
Myself. The commissioner. In the ninth round, I chose Jameson Crowder.
Crowder!
The guys that were available were Corey Davis, Josh Gordon, Marquise Goodwin, Alshon Jeffrey, Crabtree, Robbie Anderson, Cooper Kupp, which Sammy, I told you my love for.
Sammy Watkins.
I don't like Sammy Watkins.
I don't either.
But anyway, I don't know what I was thinking. Everybody gets like a mulligan, one of their rounds. That was my mulligan, and I was literally like had a total brain space fart. I don't know what I was thinking in the ninth round. Jameson Crowder, you're dead to me. You're gonna ride the pines for the whole season.
Okay, I'll give myself one too. Case Keenum. What else was there? I panicked. I'm like, hey, I still don't have a second quarterback in a 2QB league.
Yeah,
I'm in the eighth round.
You could have easily gotten him like five rounds later.
Yeah, probably. But I was worried. But look at what was there later. Probably Blake Bortles would have been a better pick than Case Keenum. But at the time, I just panicked. And I was like, I like Keenum as a safe pick. But there is no upside to that guy, I don't think.
I got your back.
Yeah.
You know why?
Why?
Because I am a Case Keenum truther.
Oh.
The guy broke all the records in Texas when he was in high school. He is currently, to this day, the all-time yards and touchdown leader in the NCAA. Nobody knows this. When he was with the Rams and he had to go in when, what's his name? Was hurt? I don't know. Was it Goff? When he went in, when Goff's first year, when he was injured, he did nothing but win. And they kicked him out. He goes to Minnesota. He leads them to an NFC championship game. Granted, they lost. They kick him out. So now he's in a new club. All he's done, every single place he's been, is put up stats and wins. And everybody kicks him out. Why? The guy does nothing but win, and he's loved by all of his teammates.
Well, I'm hoping.
So I think he's going to do great in Denver, and I'm going to refute your what was he thinking, because I think that was a great pick.
So, Commissioner, what were you thinking with Matt Ryan in the seventh?
I think the same thing I said earlier in the podcast.
You could have had Case Keenum.
Thank you. Thank you. Tells you how much of a truther I am, right? Good
Thank
point.
You. Let me make Matt Ryan's case for you.
Thank you.
I can't.
Yes.
Thank
you. Okay. Fuck you, John. So
hey, my kids are listening to this podcast. You fuck.
So I'm not a believer in Tennessee's offense this year, which is why I passed on Mariota. I think Oakland is going to take another step back. I'm not believing in what, you know, they got going on over there.
No.
Yeah, could have gone Keenum. I already had Stafford. So, Ryan, so, you know, maybe I'm buying into the hype of the whole Sarkisian offense. It's really a pass-first type offense. It's his second year. You're hearing a lot of good vibes about how they're in the groove now, and Ryan's talking to the press about how he's completing the sentences of Sarkisian.
I've not heard any of that.
It's there, baby.
Are you having dreams?
Go back and read the press articles.
Read the press articles.
Read all those press articles.
Yeah.
On the newspaper that you get on your doorstep every morning.
Yes.
I'm telling you, they are going to take a major bounce back. So Ryan 2 years ago was MVP. Last year, obviously a regression, new offense. I think they're going to take go back the opposite way, and they're going to be back on the rise, and they're going to win that division over the Saints.
All right, so let's move on. We've kind of talked about what were they thinking. I want to know if you guys see anything up on the draft board, and you're like, okay, it's not that this was a bad pick, but there are questions. What is the biggest questions, the players that you see the biggest question marks on based on who was drafted here?
I'd like to start with that one, with Dave Kasten taking Evan Engram. Pretty high as a tight end. That's pretty high for a tight end who may or may not be the guy he was last year. Everybody loved him. Man, he broke out. But there was no competition for catches in New York last year. Well, everybody was hurt.
That, and also keeping in mind, he took Engram in the 8th, and he already had Kelce in the 5th.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. That's an interesting choice. I'm not questioning it, Dave. Relax.
I am. I'd call it unnecessary.
It's not were they thinking. I just got a question about it. Do you really need to be that solid at tight end that you would take two relatively high tight end choices?
So no, there were three teams that chose two tight ends.
And it looks like, somebody correct me if I'm wrong here, it looks like he still had Josh Gordon as an option there, Corey Davis, mm-hmm. Burkhead, Goodwin.
Yeah, like Deion Lewis, Coleman. Well, not Coleman.
I think the real question that's bubbling under the surface, bubbling, is that do you really need to draft a second tight end?
That's a good question.
Why not stream and go for higher pick value with your running backs and wide receiver depth?
So probably there he should be going running back.
We saw, I think you guys just said this, all three of our new teams drafted two tight ends. Mm-hmm. Park went with Gronk in the 2nd, and Doyle, Baby Hands Jack Doyle, in the 10th round.
He's Irish sounding.
Baby hands.
As we just said, Kasten went with Kelce in the 5th and Engram in the 8th.
Solid, but unnecessary.
Yep. Yeah, these are not, just to be clear, we're not saying these are bad picks.
No.
We're just saying you might have already been covered.
If it were a tight end friendly league, these guys would be doing great. But Jimmy Graham.
Yeah, and Lance and Dave went with Jimmy Graham in the 7th and two picks later,
Delanie Walker.
Yeah. Also a great pick.
Yeah, they're good.
Delanie could have been your only pick, and you've been great.
You could almost slot him in at that flex spot and just say, you know, he's better than a lot of the available wide receivers there, except for the guy who went later, Marquise Goodwin.
So just questions, right?
Yes. Yeah. I have just another question. Okay, what's your question?
My question is, and this goes to a theme, running backs in Green Bay, all three of them were drafted. So my question is, who's going to be the lead dog, and why did all three of them get drafted? Well, I've never seen this.
It's to some degree, it's like New England.
Good one.
It's like New England. Like, we don't know who the workhorse is. We know Aaron Jones is suspended for, what is it?
Two games. Only two.
So 2 games. Then you have Jamal Williams, who everyone's saying right now is likely to be the guy.
He's next man up.
Well, it's what I keep hearing is that Jamal Williams is the guy right now, mm-hmm. but Aaron Jones is going to be the guy by the end of the season.
Starting week three.
I don't know that.
That's the thing.
And Jamal Williams has two games to lock it down and make Aaron Jones kind of like the guy who spells him as opposed to the guy who's taking his job.
But I think also really what this speaks to is Green Bay is not a running team. So it's hard to pick out who the key running backs are going to be in a team that is not run first.
That's a great point. And, you know, I've been kind of down and pretty vocal about how down I am about Jamal Williams. But the one thing that I hear out of training camp and all the preseason is he's the best in pass protection.
Yeah.
So that plays into what your narrative is about how they would favor Jamal Williams potentially because he is way better than what I hear about Aaron Jones. Yeah. Aaron Jones is not as proficient in this area, and it's an area he's got to work on. So
maybe he gets 10, 15 touches a game, but with Green Bay's passing offense, there's going to be a lot of room to run because they got to cover all those guys all over the field. So he might be a sneaky pick there. I'm hoping he is. Everything I heard was, it's his job, and on offense, it's that good. I'll take the guy who's on Green Bay's first running back.
If I could stay on the same thread, I know you were about to say something.
No, go ahead.
Stay on the same thread. It's not, like, you got 32 teams. There's only three or four teams where all of their backfield was chosen. And I just ask, why is that? Why do we value a cloudy situation? Cloudy with a chance of rain. And we have all the Seattle running backs are taken. All of the Cleveland Brown running backs are taken. Don't ask me why. You got Carlos Hyde. You got Duke Johnson. Because, Nick Chubb.
Hold on. Edison was drafted in a fog.
Yes.
Okay, Chubb, that explains the Chubb.
I'm sorry, Edison. Chubb in the ninth.
Is that your... What was he thinking?
Probably... Just to skip it back, that's probably... what were you thinking? I mean, you know, buddy, I hope it works out for you. That's all I got to say.
It was better than your J.D. McKissick.
Well, he wanted Burkhead, but I took him. So, Tevin Coleman would have been...
Yeah, he could have taken there. Tevin Coleman. I couldn't believe Tevin Coleman and Sony Michel made it back around to me to the ninth and tenth turn.
Yeah.
But...
We were all glad you took him.
I'm fine taking him.
Now, let's just say, Carlos Hyde has had a history of injuries. He played a full 16 games last year. Chubb is the next man up. If Hyde gets hurt, Chubb's got he's a good running back, and he'll take that job.
But you can't forget Duke Johnson in this.
I already forgot about Duke Johnson.
Duke Johnson's getting the money, though.
Duke was really good last year. He was really good. He's always been kind of good. But there's a lot more offensive weapons there. Duke Johnson, whatever he did last year, forget about it. There's a lot more mouths to feed there now with a better quarterback who knows how to fucking...
I agree with you on that, that their offense is going to be way better. Some of the experts are picking them to have 8, even 9 wins, which I think is a little bit of a reach. But it kind of goes to the overall theme of like drafting all of the running backs in these cloudy situations. Like, it's just...
You take the guy you think is going to lead.
Exactly. Yeah. And you hope that you strike gold.
Yes. Right. Yeah, it's a gamble. It's a gamble. I mean, that's really what it comes down to, is you have a lot of people who are kind of wanting to take that gamble. So they want to hit that hot hand.
Well, with Burkhead, I have to say, with Burkhead in New England, it's a great fucking offense. Burkhead looked really good when he was in there. Even with Deion Lewis there, Burkhead got a lot of run, and he got all the goal line work with Deion Lewis there. They got rid of Gillislee. There's nobody there for the goal line carries.
Lewis is gone. Gillislee is gone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Burkhead's the goal line guy, and he's just a slippery fish down there. He's not a super big guy, but he can catch it, and he can get through. He can squirm through the tackles to do it. He might score 10 touchdowns this year. I'd be shocked if he doesn't score 10 touchdowns.
That's a good value at 9 rounds.
I think so.
Yeah. So the questions I have for you guys, Redskins backfield.
Ooh.
You got basically what you have right now is you have Chris Thompson.
That's a shit show.
And you have Adrian Peterson.
No, I love...
Now, Lance and Dave took Adrian Peterson in the 11th round. And Brent took Chris Thompson in the 13th round. Now, Chris Thompson's going to get all the pass action.
Whoa.
Yeah. And nobody took Rob Kelly.
Fat Rob? Yeah, is he still in the league?
Yeah, they're calling him Fit Rob this year because he's lost a little weight, apparently. That's a great question, though. So, the point being...
I think... They're not going to have a backfield this year. I think that's really what's going to come. It's going to come down to. I think Adrian Peterson is obviously he's a Hall of Famer. I think right now you have the Redskins looking at, picking up a guy in Peterson that they can have a great big fanfare in a game when he breaks, into the top 10.
He's
going to
put butts in seats.
Time. Yeah, he's got what is it like? 32, 37 yards.
He's going to get it this year.
10.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got that. And I think that's about the extent of what they have right now. Thompson is going to be fine.
Maybe.
But maybe.
I mean.
He's got an injury history.
Yeah.
But
and he's
I think
coming
in the 13th,
off a major injury.
I think as a draft pick, though, in the 13th round.
Good check there.
I think Thompson's probably the better value than Peterson. Only because I can see how I know how Thompson fits into their offensive scheme. I'm not yet sure. Peterson's played one game.
Mm-hmm.
One game.
Right. One preseason game.
Yeah, one preseason game.
Yeah. Against a bunch of third string defense.
And, yeah.
Chris Thompson for a while last year looked freaking great.
He
had a role where he was just
top
wow.
five RB for
Who's
like 3 weeks, 4 weeks straight.
Yeah, he was great. So that's a good value there. And you just hope it shakes out your way. But somebody's got to be the first and second down back. That's not Chris Thompson.
All right, so who do you guys think is the steal of the draft? Got a couple, just a couple of options.
I'll just give you that one, Ed. James Conner in the 16th.
Well,
that was beautiful. And that might even outperform your other pick, Darius Geis, who you're just going to ride on the injured reserve all year.
Yes, I will.
And have that guy for next year, which would be probably a second-round pick next year.
Yes.
So, yeah, James Conner could pay off right away. Darius Geis is going to be solid for next year. And I think those two right there would probably be mine.
Okay. I can't disagree with those choices for you. I think those are really great options. I think I also did a great job with those two picks.
My last, if you don't say so yourself.
My last two picks of the draft. What about you, Kamish?
So I got a couple. First off, I'm going to give big-time props to the 11th round pick by John H. on Cooper Kupp. I think Cooper Kupp is going to explode. His cup will runneth over this year.
Ooh.
It is going to be
holding on to that?
Incredible.
I see what he did there.
Because they had the most plays of any NFL team per game, and he is the number one clear wide receiver. I know they brought in Cooks. I know that, what's his name? Robert Woods is still there. But Kupp is the guy. You know, they call him a gym rat. Because he is first there, last to leave, and he eats cheese. I don't know what the reference is there, but he
a rat.
Yeah, a rat. Okay, I get it. Okay,
Jesus.
Right.
Boo.
So I think Cooper Kupp has got huge upside, and he could potentially be the steal of the draft.
Okay. Thank you for that, Greg. I'll give you that. I like that pick. I still think Hogan might be the best pick. All right, leave Hogan alone.
I will say there's another pick on the board, and I know we're all thinking it.
David Njoku?
Nope. Although I do think that was a really good pick in the 16th
round. His first tight end in the 16th was Njoku. That guy's going to be good.
But I got to say, I got to give some space in the room to Kenyon Drake. Because in the fifth round...
God.
You guys will remember this next year when it comes to D-Day where we're declaring keepers.
I can't believe
that Greg got Kenyon Drake in the fifth round. What a steal. The guy was not an official starter until week 13. And what did he do? In the last five weeks of the season.
Tell us. What did he do?
How many games was an RB7 in the last 6 weeks of the season because they gave him the starting role. If you remember, they traded away Jay Ajayi in week 9, right before the trade deadline. And who was the starter? Damian Williams. Nobody heard of this guy because he's not even on a roster this year. Damian Williams started like 4 games for the Dolphins. He did okay, but as soon as Drake came in week 13, it was pop and sizzle the rest of the game, the rest of the year.
Pop and sizzle. Kenyon and pop so and sizzle Drake.
Right now, Kenyon Drake is the new hotness.
He's the best running back on the worst team in football. Good for you, Greg.
I think it's arguable that they're the worst.
It's again, awful. They're awful.
Yes.
Remember, Tampa Bay's still in the league.
I will not argue that Kenyon Drake is a really talented running back. He is just on a crap
team.
He's not going to get the opportunities he needs to make the kind of difference that you're expecting. Like, there's just no way.
Does the goal line start at the 20? Because that's how many. That's where he's going to get the goal
unless
line.
The Dolphins,
the 20, because they're never going to be close.
Unless the Dolphins somehow manage to trade for Aaron Rodgers, then maybe it could happen.
Isn't he the guy who was giving me grief because Chris Hogan's never really done anything more than like 600 yards in any one season? What has Kenyon Drake ever done?
I don't know. The stats speak for themselves. You know, you look at fantasy points, week 13, 22.6, 22.8, 20.3. I mean, you know.
5.7.
The guy just keeps on dealing every single week, 75 yards against Buffalo. Come on. So this guy does nothing but win. And every single listen,
he wins, but his team loses. So
what I'm gonna say right
how
now
does that work?
Is he is over a 5.0 yard per carry average in all of his carries and since he's come into the National Football League. So all you got to do is the yards per carry and the yards after catch. So 2.5. So all you got to do is really look at stats. I don't want to take this show down the road that a lot of fantasy football teams.
Did he take 5 yards per carry?
So too 5 late. Yards per carry.
I don't want to take us down the road of actual truth.
Well, look,
so it's clear to all the listeners out there, they haven't.
There's only 7 of them, Greg.
So we've had a great time recapping all the terrible picks and the wonderful picks, all the picks going on draft night, the Sons of Atherton first official draft night. So we're going to wrap up the little segment of, all right, guys, who is the player that you are most excited to see what he does this season? John, let's go to you.
Can I go first?
Yes, you can.
I'm going to start off with Royce Freeman. I got him in the 5th round. He's going to be, finally, he's been announced, he's going to be the starting running back in Denver.
Officially announced today.
Devontae Booker, for some reason the coach was holding on to that guy, like he's going to be the guy, or might be a time trip. Looks like Freeman's going to be the guy. If you look at Freeman's numbers at Oregon, that guy was crazy good. Tons of volume, tons of production. If Denver is smart, and I think John Elway is a pretty smart GM, they're going to ride that guy like crazy. Case Keenum's fine, good QB, but he's not going to win you a whole lot of games. They're going to give the ball to Royce Freeman a lot, and I'm expecting that Royce Freeman will finish as a top 12 running back this year.
All right. And I'd say for myself, I would say Kerryon Johnson is the guy I'm most excited to see what happens. He didn't get a lot of action in the preseason. But, you know, you're talking about a guy that comes out of college with a lot of anticipating a lot of great things coming from him. And I'm excited to see what he does in Detroit. I think Detroit is dying to have another running back that leans into that Barry Sanders legacy. And I want to see what he does. What about you, Kamish?
Well, I got a few areas I could go here. Obviously, I'm excited about David Johnson coming off the injury.
Sure.
But that would be an easy one to take.
Yes, it would.
Yeah, I'm not going there. I'm also pretty excited about Peyton Barber and how he's going to do locking down that role in Tampa Bay. But I got to be honest, and this may come as no surprise to you all, but I am super, super duper excited about Kenyon Drake.
Who?
The river runs deep through Miami, and it's going through Kenyon Drake. The guy's going to get 25 to 30 touches a game. He is explosive on the running game. He has averaged over 5 yards per carry in his career so far.
Bullshit!
And each of the preseason games, he's had 30-yard carries and 30-plus-yard receptions. So this guy is my guy, and I'm totally excited about Kenyon Drake.
And you gave him the nickname. What was it, like Kenyon, like Pop and Lock Drake? Is that it?
Sizzle and Pop.
Oh, Sizzle and Pop. I like Pop and Lock now.
I'll work on it.
All right, and that's our show.
Wait, are we
for
done?
This
Hold
evening.
On, I have one more.
Go, baby.
All right.
John's got another.
You can have two, my guys.
I got another guy. Nelson Agholor. Okay.
Okay.
I know. His first two seasons. That guy sucked.
Yep.
But
he did. It's on record.
It totally. If you look at the numbers, Nelson Agholor was a freaking bust. Last year, Nelson Agholor did not suck. And this year, I got Agholor in the 12th round. At the moment, he's the number one wide receiver for a team that went to the Super Bowl. How bad is that guy?
They won it too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did they?
That's true.
That's what I heard. That's a rumor.
So, okay. Nelson Agholor, he's got a shot to do something. He's playing in the slot. He's going to get a ton of volume.
You love
and
the slot. I know that.
I think Alshon Jeffrey's breaking down. Nelson Agholor is the guy to own on that team if you don't have Zach Ertz, who I also have. So I'm right. excited about Nelson Agholor.
So John's got his money on the Eagles. So if we're going to go a second one, I'm going to go with Tevin Coleman. Coleman is a guy I'm super excited about. I think, you know, I picked him up in the 9th round, and I think that he is a guy, you know, as we said earlier, you know, it's his contract year. This is the end of his rookie contract. He is going to be out there ready to prove that he is the man in Atlanta.
Yeah, he's one Devonta Freeman concussion away from being the starter. And when he's in, he's really good.
Yes, I'll yes.
give you that.
And I also like him there because I think every time they're playing against a big-time defense, that big-time defense is going to be focused on Freeman, not Coleman. And I think Coleman's the man to get the action when they go up against those big defenses. So I'm excited to see what happens with him. And
can I go one more? One more. I'm excited for J.D. McKissic, former running back for the Seattle Seahawks. Shout out to you, Edison. Shout out to you, baby.
It's okay, Edison. He's McKissic, actually still technically a running back
in Seattle.
Keeper
for next year. Keeper
yes,
for next year.
Yes, for somewhere. Kamish, did you have anything else to add here?
You know, I've gone through my high upside guys that I'm really excited about. Obviously, the love for Drake. I will call out one other guy.
Oh.
Trey Burton. Keep an eye on this guy.
Trey Boo Boo.
Trey Boo Boo is going to be big time.
Somewhere.
Every game that he filled in for when Ertz was hurt. Last year,
ooh.
He had major upside, big games on the games that Ertz was out. So I'm looking for him to have the offense run through him and Jordan Howard. And I think Burton is my surprise.
I like the way you stacked the Jordan Howard, Trey Boo Boo combo
like
thing. Yeah. Yeah, get a good piece of Chicago's offense. There you go. But that's a good pick.
All right. And that is the show for today. So we want to thank you all for tuning in and checking out what we are talking about. And tune in next time for the next episode of Sons of Atherton podcast. And we'll see you then. All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.